This is a download from Forced Migration Online. To find out more, please go to www.forcedmigration.org.
And I think that's a great testimony to the calibre of the speaker we have presenting the second seminar of the series. Roger really needs very little introduction here, but I'll give a very brief overview and background. Roger is someone very closely associated with the centre, as well as now being Emeritus Professor of Forced Migration. He was the fourth Director of the Refugee Studies Centre between 2006 and 2011, and he was Professor of Refugee Studies and the Leopold Muller Reader in Forced Migration. In addition to that, Roger's association with the centre goes back even further, having been the founding editor of the Journal of Refugee Studies, and having been editor for a very long period between 1988 and 2001. Roger's scholarship has shaped forced migration. He's known very much in his early work on labelling, and also his work on the Greek Cypriot refugees. Since then, he's worked in a way that is at the interface between academic work, but also policy and practice, working on a range of topics, including the impact of humanitarian assistance on refugees and asylum seekers, on protracted displacement, on shelter and settlement, receiving a range of grants which he's used to great effect to impact on the world of policy and practice. And most recently, Roger has turned his academic hand and expertise to the area of environmental displacement, receiving very prestigious grants for two projects from UNHCR, the Norwegian government, the Swiss government, and most recently a large grant from the MacArthur Foundation to work on environmentally displaced persons. And we're very lucky to have him here as part of this series to present on that work on the topic of environmental displacement and the challenge of right protection. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Alex, for that very fulsome introduction. You've left me a little bit of time to give my lecture this evening. How concepts of protection and rights are conceived in the context of displacement, particularly in the context of forced displacement, I think is a central concern of refugee studies, and it's been the focal point, I think, of the work of the centre for 30 years. But environmental and climate stress and their sort of potential impacts on population displacement and migration, I think, provide an interesting new lens to explore how rights and protection are afforded to certain categories of migrants. I think it's a valuable lens because it's a new or emerging area of migration, the volume of which is obviously very contentious and debatable, and the potential rights that these new migrants might benefit from. I think it's also a valuable area because it deals with some of the kind of central issues which we're concerned with, I think, more widely, about issues of causality, notions of force and enforced displacement, and the special conditions of protection that might apply in those contexts. But there's a paradox, it seems to me, and it's a paradox which became very evident in the work that I want to talk about tonight, which was the first of those projects that Alex mentioned, a project which focused on four countries, and I'll say a little bit more about these in a minute, Bangladesh, Vietnam, Kenya, and Ghana. It's that in these countries and worldwide, obviously, there's an increasing awareness of the potential population and sometimes the actual population displacement effects of environmental change and climate change. It's very high profile in countries like Bangladesh, in a constrained way in Vietnam, for example. It's part of the public policy discourse. But when it actually comes to considering the displacement impacts of climate change, population mobility, and the likely involuntary nature of these movements, and especially if these outcomes start to pose questions about whether these migrants should be afforded some kind of rights and protection, having been forced to move, or perhaps moving at least involuntarily, where their rights might be diminished, then what strikes me and what struck me in these four countries is that the legal and normative frameworks dealing with rights for migrants, environmental migrants, and indeed internally displaced people more generally, are actually rather silent. Now, there could be a number of answers to, or a number of explanations of that silence. One of them is obviously the notion that it's a future challenge that is not yet high enough up the political agenda. Another challenge might be that obviously there are competing priorities in many of these countries where there are very limited resources. They're countries that largely have relatively weak institutional governance capacities, and issues of rights and vulnerable groups perhaps are not that high up the agenda. And obviously a very sort of salient reason for the lack of the development of normative and legal frameworks is, of course, the major problem of causality. How do you attribute displacement to the precise effects of climate and environmental change? I want to say a little bit more about these in a minute, but the focal point and what I really want to argue tonight is that there actually is potentially, I think, another explanation for this lacuna, certainly in the four countries, and I think to a certain extent in other countries where I know research is being done. James's work in Ethiopia, for example, an MPhil student who's working in Mozambique. And it's essentially that whilst the protection of rights intrinsically derives from law, it's underpinned by legal concepts, what rights are actually protected and how they're protected is shaped by political factors, processes and contexts. And what I'm going to argue is that at least in these four countries, and as I say, I suspect many others as well, the extent to which protection is afforded to people who are susceptible to environmental displacement, indeed to internal migrants as a whole, is really determined by a series of underlying structural determinants, notably the political-historical contexts within which migration is located in these countries, and the extent to which perceptions of vulnerability and concerns about human rights in general provide a frame for the development of rights protection, access to rights protection for, in my particular concern, environmental migrants, climate change, people displaced by climate change. As I say, I want to focus on four countries. In contrast to last week, they're big countries. They're countries which, both currently and certainly in terms of predicted numbers, the volume of migration as a result of the impact of environmental change is very substantial. And they're countries where I think I would argue quite strongly that we're dealing with internal displacement, large numbers of internal displacement, some cross-border displacement, but certainly the majority of those who